Packs, packs, packs. You can go to bed with no worries, and in the morning when you wake up in that place, in that place a tree will have grown, full of coins and even bills. This kind of place exists and it's called the Field of Wonders. The Field of Wonders in the Land of Fools. And you wait till Daddy sleeps and you take the money from his pocket and you plant it all in the garden, because you've heard a long time ago that you live in the Land of Fools. And you don't get why Mom had to leave to another country when she could have planted the money right here in our garden and would never have had to leave home. And the morning, that special moment when Daddy cuts your finger off with an axe because you stole the money, and he says he'll cut all your fingers off if you ever steal again. And not only in the garden, but only as a tree in the garden of money not grown in the garden. But your mom writes to you, Daddy did well to cut your finger off. It'll teach you a lesson. And Daddy cannot come close to you anymore. 300 meters distance for 30 days. And you're asking the cops, when is Daddy coming home? Daddy's good. He buys me clothes. That happy moment when Daddy and the cop have a drink together at our table and you run into the store to get them booze. That beautiful moment where you want to kill yourself because of your teacher. She asks you to get her corn puffs from the cafeteria and you get her chips instead. And the teacher who teaches you a lesson tapes your mouth and makes you dance in front of the class for an hour, Gangnam style. And on top of that, she also cuts your hair in front of the class. That proud moment when the teacher gives you a shitty review And daddy buys a fancy perfume and gifts it to the teacher, 'cause daddy's worries are not letting him sleep. And since he gives her fancy gifts, the teacher gives you very nice reviews. And finally, daddy can have a good sleep. And when mom finds out all of this, she screams on Skype like crazy. How could you buy corn puffs instead of chips? Is that why I pay for your school? So that you embarrass us so badly? What's in your head? Do you know how much we paid for your ass? You little brat. Only to give birth to you, 200 for the doctor, 100 for the midwife, 50 for hot water, 50 for them to change your diapers, 50 for them to feed you, 50 for your asshole dad so that you can look like him. How could you buy corn puffs instead of chips? Do you know how much since the baptism? A little golden cross for the priest's daughter, so that you can grow big. A little golden cross for the priest's wife, so that you can become a policeman. A little golden cross for the priest, so that you can become attorney general. Two little golden crosses for the parish, so that you can become president. That moment when dad prefers to give the teacher a little golden cross and the money in an envelope. That moment when your classmate swallows all the pills he could find in the house because his parents didn't give him money for the school tax. And the religion teacher, dad, and the minister affirm unanimously that the school tax does not exist.
School tax does not exist. School tax does not exist. School tax does not exist. School tax does not exist. School tax does not exist. School tax does not exist. School tax does not exist. School tax does not exist.
That perfect moment when you take a look at the gift mom bought you, earbuds for cheating on the exam. And dad prepares his kit for the graduation exam. He irons your shirt, he picks one with long sleeves, he hides a necklace behind the shirt's collar, he tapes the mic onto your chest with Band-Aid, he pulls carefully all the wires under your coat, he plugs the phone into your earbuds, he connects your phone to the charger, he irons your pants, he puts the phone into your left pocket, he connects the battery to the amplifier, and he puts it into the right pocket of your pants. He tells you, don't move them around, it may cause disturbance. and their mom spent all that money in vain. He inserts the tiny earbuds into your ears till they stick to your eardrums. He puts money into your pocket on the inside of your coat, and he tells you that a religion teacher will collect the money. And he also tells you that it will be the religion teacher on the line, because he's a real Christian and he doesn't ask for a lot of money. On top of that, he promised he's going to change the video from the surveillance cameras so you don't have to be stressed. So daddy sent you to the exam, but he forgets to give you the special device to pull out the earbuds. He forgets to place a body magnet in your pocket, a magnet used to pull out the earbuds. And you're trying to get the buds out, and a bud hurts your eardrum. That stupid moment when daddy realizes he has to take him to the hospital, and he's got no idea how much he should pay, and he starts calling all his friends, and one of them tells him a good whiskey and a packet of coffee that will do in the beginning. After you're hospitalized, it depends, but it's important to make sure you give them something from the very beginning, because they are thick-skinned. They even showed it on TV. If you don't give them something from the very beginning, they'll operate on you with an industrial drilling machine and with rusty pliers, which they bring from home, the ones they use for fixing their homes, but they want to scare the shit out of you. And that high moment when the doctor tells daddy, "I don't get it. Do you want the boy to hear again, or don't you really want it? With a cheap whiskey and a pack of coffee, I don't really think he's ever gonna hear again." And after, Mom builds a bigger house, bigger than the mayor's. That best moment, when one night the dam collapses and there's nothing left of the house. And Mom gets back home right away from the other side of the world. But she's heard they offer help, all kinds of help. They even give money, $500 for each person. And that epic moment, when Daddy dies from getting intoxicated with alcohol, because he drank away in one night the $500 he got from the government. And when the government forbids the selling of all alcoholic beverages in the flooded areas, Mom starts selling alcohol for double the price. On top of that, Mom applies for a new house. And she also puts you on the list. And she also applies for a mother-in-law who lives in another city. And why not apply also for Daddy, who's been dead for 5 days now? Those at City Hall made a death certificate for him to die next year. On top of that, Mom raises hell. Why should that one get a house? He didn't have a house before. The only thing he had was one pair of ripped underwear. That's all he had. So why should he get 3 rooms when it's her boy who lost his daddy? And soon he'll have to go to college. That magical moment when you want to become a journalist because it's cheaper and you want to be on TV often, but Mom wants you to become a judge because it's so much better pay. Well, didn't you see on TV that if you're a judge and you're in a car crash, let's say even if it's the judge's fault, the other one has to pay for the car. And if he refuses to pay for it, they'll put him in jail. This is what happens when you're a judge. Thank you. that blonde moment when mom tells you, why the heck should I pay for 5 years in a row when I can pay much less and one time only? Don't you see what a smart solution mom's found? You go to the college admission exam and you tell them you're gypsy. And then you can study without paying a tax and without having an exam. So what if you're going to be a gypsy for a couple of hours? You're going to take on the responsibility of declaring you're gypsy. And after that, you'll go to the Gypsy Association where, for 100 euros, you can buy a confirmation you're gypsy. And after you get all the exams, you become a student, having all the student documents you need, no tax, and no exam. Why shouldn't we get all these spots? What would gypsies do in college anyway? What would they become? Why should they take our places in schools? The only thing they can do is to brag about how they stole from universities too. And that's about it. that moment when mom buys you a car because you got into college. And once you have a car, you only sit in it with your elbow out the window while all the others walk. And there's no other way only to think that you made it in life and to watch from your car the ones who are walking. And these walking ones start to make you feel sick and they give you headaches. That nice moment when no pills help you anymore, because all the medication the doctors prescribe are from the same company from which the doctors get their salaries, made in China. Only there's no made in China written on them. And 1 week before your wedding, that glee moment when a guy hits your mom on the crosswalk and he pays for all the funeral costs, and it's the most beautiful funeral you have ever seen. And on top of that, mom had a place reserved in the Central Cemetery. She got a good offer. She got a good offer from some schoolmates. A mahogany coffin with two lids type president, with six wooden handles, with embalming, with catafalque, with candles, with funeral bouquets, with music, with rats of orchids and chrysanthemums. And after you saw how beautiful the orchids were, you got an orchid bouquet for the bride too, and flower decorations, and special photo services, and special video services, and dance lessons in two sessions, and a guest book, and then the baptism, little princess style, with a pink tablecloth and little white clothes. And every morning your wife takes the kid to the playground at IKEA and picks her up in the evening, since throughout the whole day she is always busy, always busy, always busy, always busy, 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 busy. Moments when you're 500 short on your account, but you buy yourself a pair of boots for 500. 1,248 people like this. A new house. 3,211 people like this. That moment when you've got three jobs so that you can pay the mortgage for your house, and you got more debts in order for why one more house. Bank loans, mortgages, always busy job like bank loans. 2 weeks holiday job, bank loans. I want to be a model. I want a house made of glass, an elevator made of glass, to move to Dubai or at least to New York City job. That one moment when you want a convertible Jaguar, a red fur coat with a fox collar, a three-story house. You want a red pedicure, you want champagne and strawberries now. You want the coolest gadget, you want to be casual. You want 10 vintage dresses, 10 centimeter high-heeled shoes, a massage with white chocolate, and after that a massage with dark chocolate. A plane ticket to New York City, but you shouldn't have to pay for it yourself. You want the natural wool carpet right under your feet when you get out of bed. A bathtub with roses and Obama washing your feet. You want George Clooney to call you right away to tell you that he saw your pic on Facebook and that he wants to take you out to a restaurant. He's taking care of the bill, naturally. You want an old and rare book because it looks good and you look like a first-rate intellectual. And you also want to be nominated for the Oscars and to boycott the ceremony of the lazy bone American capitalist. That moment when you also want jeans, a bikini, a bow tie, a white shirt, a t-shirt, shoes, a skirt, a scarf, a tie, a coat, a belt, a case, a bag. And you also want new boobs, new legs, new nails, new hair, new skin, new face, new nose, new eyes, new bodies, new buttocks, new eyelashes, new eyebrows, new teeth, big lips. that moment when Grandpa is digging in the garbage bin out the front of your building. And you turn your head when you're passing by, because Grandpa doesn't belong to your new past anymore. On top of that, you change your old finger prosthesis for a new one, a platinum one. And your wife finally opens up her own fashion house and produces bulletproof bags for kids, which should protect the kids from a considerable amount of bullets, even from the Magnum ones. It only weighs 3 kilograms. That moment when you already have a country, but you think one more would come in handy. But the country you want, let's say the land of fools, is not for sale. And in fact, you don't really want to pay for it, even though it wouldn't be bad if it were yours. But it's not worth spending so much money on it. So you take a piece of paper and you write that the country you want, the land of fools owes you a lot of money. Money you never really gave, of course. You're going to sue the country, sue it good, and the trial judge will be one of those you went hunting with. A real friend, so you don't leak any money, so it's not gonna cost a lot. The land you want doesn't even have to know that the trial is taking place, and the judge decides you get a country instead of the debts the country owes to you. You only have to water well and say the magic words, cracks, packs, facts. And after that you can go to bed with no worries. In the morning when you wake up, you're the new owner of that country. And the law is on your side. After you become the owner, you do what you want. It's your country, the land of fools. You can even sell it. Magic words.
Cracks, packs, facts. Cracks, packs, facts. Cracks, packs, facts. Cracks, packs, facts.
Hartelijk dank.
Bedankt.
Prijsgesteld door de Russische autoriteiten. Ook Russische soldaten zijn niet erg gelukkig met de oorlog. Het is moeilijk om dat in de openbaarheid te brengen, maar omdat Oekraïnse inlichtingendiensten privégesprekken van Russische soldaten afluisteren, is het duidelijk geworden dat desertiefantasieën niet van de lucht zijn. En dat brengt nog de mobilisatieproblemen van Oekraïne. Gevechtskracht is een combinatie van mensen en wapens. Het wapen of systeem en de bijbehorende munitie. En van beide is een groot tekort voor Oekraïne. Gesteld wordt dat de gemiddelde levensverwachting van een soldaat aan het front op dit moment 14 dagen is. 14 dagen. Nu wordt gesteld dat sinds het begin van de oorlog 650.000 mannen in de dienstplichtige leeftijd, die gaat van 18 tot 60 jaar, naar het westen zijn gevlucht. En daar kwamen nog andere zaken bij, zoals de nu openlijk besproken mobilisatieproblemen. Zelensky werd verweten dat hij te laat ingreep bij de corruptie in wervingsbureaus, waartegen een forse som een afkeuring kon worden gekocht. En vervanging van het totale ambtenarenbestand is te laat gekomen. Niemand wordt nog vertrouwd, ook de nieuwe ambtenaren niet. En omdat er te weinig aflossing is, is het misschien niet vreemd, maar wel zeer opvallend, dat frontsoldaten een actiepagina op Telegram en een petitie starten waarbij ze eisten om demobilisatie, aflossing en verlof. Ze moeten te lang aan het front verblijven. En gesteund door het thuisfront, dat zijn vrouwen en kinderen, werd zelfs 2 maal gedemonstreerd in Kiev op 27 oktober en 12 november om deze eisen kracht bij te zetten. En de reactie hierop op deze campagne is een nieuwe wet om uitzendbureaus in te schakelen bij de werving. Een nieuw recruteringssysteem dat met behulp van uitzendbureaus voor soelaars moet zorgen. En dat brengt me op de ontwikkeling in de NAVO. Vorige week, 27 november, vergaderden de ministers van Defensie van de NAVO in Brussel. De NAVO-top in Brussel ging naast andere zaken ook over de oorlog in Oekraïne en duidelijk is dat de NAVO de moed erin wil houden, maar dat onderlinge verschillen over de koers groeien. NAVO-baas Stoltenberg wil dat de NAVO Oekraïne op koers houdt en dat het aan Oekraïne alleen is om te beslissen of het wil onderhandelen. Het onderwerp hoe staat het met de onderhandelingskansen met Rusland zal niet openlijk gecommuniceerd worden en ook niet de openbare agenda behelzen. En een oplossing voor het structurele gebrek aan munitie voor Oekraïne, de afnemende steun voor de bewapening in Oekraïne, de overwinning van Wilders bij de verkiezingen en zoals vermeld de analyse van Slowakije dat de oorlog een bevroren conflict is geworden, zijn genoeg thema's om het stille plan voor onderhandelingen harder uit te spreken. En dat brengt me op het slotpunt. Is er een geheim plan? Het was uit de snippers informatie van de afgelopen maanden al duidelijk dat in kringen van de NAVO weinig geloof werd gehecht aan de optimistische verhalen van president Zelensky. Begin november werd duidelijk dat zeer stille diplomatie noodzakelijk was. In openbare verklaringen en uitlatingen is daarvan niets te merken. Maar de praktijk bewijst anders. Zelensky heeft nu toegegeven uit een ander vaatje te moeten tappen. Dat betekent dat geleidelijk aan een andere mentaliteit over de mogelijkheden van oorlog voeren zal moeten ontstaan. En in Duitsland pakt de Bild-Zeitung uit met de ontdekking van een geheim plan van de VS en Duitsland. Beide landen zouden Oekraïne nog wel wapens willen leveren, maar alleen om stand te houden tegen verdere aanvallen. Bezet gebied heroveren wordt onmogelijk geacht. De Oekraïnse regering moet nu inzien dat onderhandelingen met Rusland zouden moeten worden begonnen over soevereiniteit en territoriale integriteit. Of dit een plan is, of dit zelfs een geheim plan is, is niet zeker. Wel is duidelijk dat ook Zelensky bereid is een nieuwe fase in te gaan.
Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, it's the last band of the evening, and I'm sure you're going to enjoy the band that I know commonly as Pulp. Thank you.
We're going to attempt to play a cover version, which we're not very good at usually, but I seem to remember when I used to listen to this, to John Peel's programme as a child, soon to become a man, that he really likes his song. I hope he does. I hope he likes his version of it. Rich, do it. We'll be right back.
Ich habe jetzt Patrick Breyer in der Leitung. Hallo.
Ja, hallo.
Ja, du bist bei den Piraten in Schleswig-Holstein, sitzt dort auch im Landtag und ich wollte mich mit dir über bargeldlosen Zahlungsverkehr unterhalten. So, und dein Schwerpunkt ist so ein bisschen Überwachung und das ist ja auch ein wichtiges Thema und ja, also es gibt halt Bestrebungen in der EU und auch in Deutschland oder ist, ja, dass halt irgendwie das Bargeld immer mehr zurückgedrängt wird und dass es wahrscheinlich irgendwann ganz abgeschafft wird. In vielen Ländern gibt es schon Obergrenzen für Barbezahlung, dass man nur halt so und so viel 1.000 Euro bezahlen kann. Vielleicht zuallererst, warum denn überhaupt irgendwie diese Bestrebungen, dass das Bargeld abgeschafft werden soll?
Naja, oft wird mit Geldwäsche argumentiert. Das heißt, man sagt, um eben ja illegale Zahlungsflüsse aufspüren zu können, müsste man genau wissen, wer was womit bezahlt. Aber ich finde das unverhältnismäßig, denn die allermeisten Zahlungsvorgänge sind ja komplett legal und auch der normale Bürger kann eben ein berechtigtes Interesse daran haben, auch anonym zu zahlen. Zum Beispiel, wenn man mal denkt an Spenden, wenn ich an bestimmte Organisationen spenden will, will ich nicht immer nachverfolgbar sein, weil das zum Beispiel einen Rückschluss zulassen kann auf zum Beispiel AIDS-Hilfe oder Ähnliches. Oder wenn ich bestimmte Produkte kaufe, Hygieneprodukte oder Produkte aus dem sexuellen Bereich, kann das eben auch wichtig sein, dass ich das anonym auch bezahlen kann. Und deswegen, wenn wir uns vorstellen, dass wirklich das komplette Alltagsleben, alles, was wir bezahlen im Alltag, nachverfolgbar wäre, da würde sich, glaube ich, der ein oder andere das durchaus überlegen, ob er die ein oder andere Zahlung tätigt. Und deswegen ist es so wichtig, eben auch anonym und spurenlos zahlen zu können, ohne Angst vor Rückverfolgung oder Nachteilen.
Ja, das ist auf jeden Fall ein großer Punkt. Also das gehört halt zur Privatheit dazu. Also wenn alle Leute wissen, wofür ich mein Geld ausgebe, wem ich was gebe und wem nicht, also da lassen sich halt Rückschlüsse über mein privatestes Sein und meine Wünsche und Hoffnung und alles Mögliche schließen. Naja, gut, wie weit ist denn das jetzt schon fortgeschritten? Hast du irgendwelche, also gibt es da jetzt akut Pläne, das in den EU abzuschaffen, das Bargeld?
Also auf EU-Ebene nein. Man muss allerdings sehen, die Bezahlwege der Zukunft sind ja eher die elektronischen Bezahlwege im Internet. Und da ist es durchaus so, dass im Internet es gar nicht so einfach ist, noch anonym zu zahlen. Denn da wird ja doch meistens gezahlt mit Kreditkarte oder elektronischen Bezahlsystemen wie PayPal und so weiter. Und das ist natürlich alles nachverfolgbar, was man mit diesen Systemen zahlt. Es gibt eine Möglichkeit, nämlich mit den sogenannten Prepaid-Karten ein Guthaben anonym zu kaufen. Das kann man etwa an Tankstellen machen und dann mit einem Code zu bezahlen, ähnlich wie wenn man SIM-Karten aufladen will. Und die EU hat aber diese Möglichkeit begrenzt vom Betrag her. Ich meine, auf eine Grenze von 200 Euro. Bis zu diesem Betrag kann man auch anonyme Guthaben erwerben, um im Netz anonym bezahlen zu können. Bei höheren Beträgen ist das nicht mehr möglich.
Kannst du das noch ein bisschen genauer erklären, wie das funktioniert?
Also ja, das funktioniert so. Also ich benutze das beispielsweise, um einen Anonymisierungsdienst im Internet zu benutzen, seit es die Vorratsdatenspeicherung gibt. Das heißt, es wird komplett gespeichert, mit welcher Kennung man im Internet ist. Kann man das verschleiern mit einem Anonymisierungsdienst, um sich eben auch anonym bewegen zu können. Und sowas macht natürlich nur Sinn, wenn man dann auch nicht über die Zahlung sozusagen rückverfolgbar ist. Deswegen muss man so einen Dienst auch anonym bezahlen. Und ich mache das so, ich gehe dann an die Tankstelle und sage, ich möchte eine PaySafe-Card, das ist das Produkt, was ich nutze, es gibt auch andere, eine PaySafe-Card im Wert von 50 Euro. Dann lege ich eben die 50 Euro auf den Tisch und bekomme einen Code. Ich glaube, 12-stellige Zahlenkombination ist das. Und da kann ich dann den Dienst, bei dem ich bezahlen will, gebe ich dann einfach diesen Code ein. Und der bucht dann sozusagen den Betrag ab von dieser Guthabenkarte, ohne mich identifizieren zu können.
Na gut, bei den meisten Geschäften oder so, die man im Internet tätigt, da lässt man sich dann hinter irgendwelche Pakete an seine eigene Adresse kommen. Also von daher ist das wahrscheinlich mit der Verschlüsselung dann eh schwierig. Aber wie ist denn das jetzt zum Beispiel? Es gibt auch viele Leute, die bezahlen einfach bei jeder Gelegenheit.